Playwright Howard Korter uses a stylized version of everyday speech to tell his stories. His style has been compared to David Mamet's. In fact, Mamet is the co-executive producer of the TV presentation of Korter's play Lip Service. It's a comedy premiering October 17th on HBO. Lip Service stars Griffin Dunn and Paul Dooley as co-hosts of a local morning TV talk show. Together, they represent the generational gap between the old style and new style of TV journalism.
And when you take in the big picture and you start to see the man not just as we saw him, but this other being...
That Warren, that's all we have time for, but what an eye-opener. I'd say you've given us all something to dunk in our coffee this
just
morning.
My point, not only his music...
Exactly. Thanks for stopping by. Come see us again soon.
Thanks, Len. Love to.
Okay, once again, the book is Elvis, Child of the Skies, and for anyone who's a fan of the late great one,
who isn't,
it's pretty special.
I know I'm going to take this copy home and read it under the covers.
Gil!
We'll be speaking with 7th Ward Representative Adrian Feldenkraus about zoning changes along Hacker Drive when Sunnyside Up continues.
Howard Korter describes Gil, the older host, as a man who's come to terms with his own mediocrity. He's in his mid-60s and sees himself as carrying on in his own small way the tradition of Edward R. Murrow. Len is the exact opposite. He's all style and no substance.
I think this is a function of where he gets his values from. Television offers a simulation of many things without the messy reality. And he has no need to get into genuine feeling. It'll just get in the way of where he wants to go.
I loved his rap on interviewing.
Am I disturbing you?
No.
I am.
No, I'm just going over the intro copy.
Really? You do that?
Habit.
No, I mean, that's great. You do that, huh? I'm always meaning to.
Not that important. Makes the job easier.
No. I mean, of course I look at the quiz sheets. My style is, I like to wing it. You know, take the guests as they come.
Mm.
Gives a feeling of spontaneity.
I felt like you must have been eavesdropping on certain kinds of interviewers to get that. I've really heard a lot of people say almost exactly that.
Mm-hmm. He would never burn himself with something as trivial as being prepared. he wouldn't let the facts get in the way of being able to make fun of someone, which I think is his basic intent.
Does lip service come out of your experiences as a TV viewer or as a television insider?
My experience in television began after I had written Lip Service. It was simply as a watcher of entirely too much television. I was pleased to find my imagination of the world corresponded to the actuality. But the thing about television is that it really doesn't matter what you say or do. There's a place where you can be used. Television is a huge, voracious organism, and it can eat anything and survive.
How did it eat you? How did it eat your work?
Writing for television is, at least the kind that I did, which was writing for a sitcom, I found very unsatisfying. One, it's work for hire. I always thought of it as being a sort of a painter in Michelangelo's workshop, where Michelangelo would have the big ideas and you'd have to paint the sky, you know, and you'd look at it and go, I painted the sky well, but it would still be Michelangelo's painting.
Was it... a disorienting feeling working on television, doing things that you might have mocked before, things that you knew were absurd but that were required?
Yes. I also felt dishonest. The values that most situation comedies, or that really that are prevalent on television, I don't necessarily accept wholeheartedly. The basis of most television is to support the status quo, to really reaffirm common wisdom. I feel these are the very things that need to be questioned very, very closely.
You said you felt dishonest. Is there an example you could give us of something you did that really made you feel dishonest, but you had to do it?
It's it's just the level at which the stories need to be told. I mean, first of all, especially on a situation comedy, the characters aren't allowed to change. And what makes writing compelling is, for the writer, is to see where the characters are taking you. They want and need to change, and to take that away from them makes you sort of like a crossword puzzle solver. You know, you're filling in the blanks. Scripts get reduced to mechanical plot devices. I think that's why you see the same stories over and over again on television. They worked once, they'll work again.
I want to talk about how you use language in your play Lip Service. You have people speaking very colloquially in sentences that never complete a thought. It's almost as if sometimes when you have people speaking, they don't want to commit themselves to saying anything.
One thing.
Yes, sir.
Gil Hutchinson. I just want it said. I think he's one of the...
Of course.
I mean, easily.
Len, we feel the same way.
How did you start writing in that kind of non-committal type of way?
Well, it's to my mind very close to the way people use language. We believe that we use language to clarify our intentions or to make explicit our wants or desires, when in fact language is most often used to achieve the exact opposite. We wish to hide our intentions.
You know, a lot of people think that to find interesting colloquialisms and rhythms and patterns of speech, you either have to look at certain ethnic groups or at bohemian groups, or even sometimes people who are poor who have developed somehow this very colorful language or subculture. And you're taking people who are middle-class professionals and finding really kind of interesting quirks in their speech patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about how you started listening for that kind of thing and finding it in a place that you'd expect to be bland and unrevealing.
Well, you know, the basic take on white middle class America is just that, bland. It's the culture most of us either are part of or have to deal with, and we take it as a given. It's not a colorful speech. It is a speech of blandness. What's fascinating is seeing how we achieve those effects, how we avoid saying what we don't want to say and still say something. It's a point that Gil makes later on in the movie where he says, you speak like a human, you look like a human being, you speak clearly enough, but I have no idea what it is you're trying to say. Len is saying nothing, but he's talking.
I know a problem that a lot of screenwriters have when they're starting out is that they make their dialogue too literary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a problem a lot of writers have in general, that they strive for the dialogue to have the kind of style that you'd give to good narrative, but people don't talk that way. Did it take you a while to realize that when you were writing?
No. In fact, when I was studying theater and trying to make headway as an actor, every time I'd come across a play that has the kind of writing that you speak of, and most of them do, where some long monologue would pop up in which a character explains everything about himself
for no apparent reason,
I would bristle. And as an audience member, I would just think, we can skip past this. It's not needed. It's plays and movies are not like novels. You can plunge into a novel. The writer can go off on a very long digression on the gold trade in pre-Columbian Venezuela, and you can be fascinated for 60 pages. That doesn't work on the stage. The audience likes to be assured that they are going somewhere. They don't need to know where they're going, where they're being taken. But they need to be aware that they are in safe hands and are being taken somewhere.
When you're home writing, is it easy to get distracted by television?
No, I don't turn on the TV during the day, mostly because there's nothing on that I wouldn't want to watch. I've wasted far too much time watching television already to spend any more of it. I think I have work to do, so.
Thanks so much for talking with us.
You're very welcome.
Lip Service by Howard Korter premieres October 17th on HBO. This is Fresh Air.